You know what? Well, I got a good one for you today. A real good one. You're going to like this. You're going to like it. You've all heard the cliche at one time or other. Oh, well, most of you anyway. We all have a cross to bear. I heard my parents say it. I heard my grandparents say it. Whenever, you know, that we get in a little bit of trouble, they'd say to me, well, you have that cross to bear. That's your cross. You got to bear it. The point is how we bear that cross. And that's entirely up to us. However, nothing could be further from the truth in comparison to the cross that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had to bear. You know, when we make such a statement, not only is it a lie, but it's a direct insult to the God of our salvation. People, look, I urge you with all my heart, I urge you, never, never compare the cross you bear to the cross that he bore at Calvary. Never. There is no comparison. Because the cross that he bore it for you and me and all the world. All the world. Friends, I call my message today the three crosses. The three crosses. The first cross is the cross before accountability. The second cross is the cross during accountability. And the third cross is the cross after accountability. Let's get into it. But first, a short word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to deliver this message. I pray, Lord, you'd give me utterance. And I pray, Lord, that those ears that hear it, Lord, would be unstopped. And their hearts would be receptive, Lord, to what is said here today. And Lord, if there's any honor and glory, Lord, in my utterance today, I give it all to thee. In the name of your dear Son, I pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's deal first with the cross before accountability. This cross is for the little children. This cross is also for those who are mentally challenged. This cross is not for those who have not heard the gospel. For they have seen God's creation and must seek him out. The scriptures tell us to seek and ye shall find. We are without excuse. No excuse whatsoever. You know, the word of God doesn't give a lot of information about before accountability. However, in the New Testament Gospels, we learn a lot about how Jesus loved the little children. He spoke often about the little children and how we should come on to him in like manner as little children. For example, in Luke 9:48, Jesus talking here now, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, among you all, shall be great. See that? He used the little children to show you the humility, to show you that that we must do away with our manly or our human pride and be as little children to come to him. In Matthew 18 now, Jesus called a little child onto him. And set him in the midst of them, his disciples. He was talking to his disciples here. He chose a little child, and he set the child in the midst of them. And then Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Become as little children. There you go. There's the example he uses quite often. Unless you become converted and become as little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And over in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, we read, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for is such the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. He shall not enter therein. That last phrase, I like that. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child now, he shall not enter therein. Which means you will not enter into heaven unless you come before him as a little child. I'm not saying you come bawling, crying your eyes out, crawling on the floor. No. But in a state of a little child, where you really don't, you know, understand everything. That's why he refers to the little children, eh? They are fresh in their minds. Their hearts are new. And, you know, and of course, we mustn't forget this here. A lot of people say, well, how do you know children go to heaven before they make a proclamation of faith? Well, we have one good example here. I kind of like it. And we mustn't forget King David. When his sinful ways lead to the loss of his child, he knew that his child could not be returned to him. In 2 Samuel 1, verse 23, pay attention now to what we read here. But now, David is making this proclamation as given by God, but now he is dead, speaking of the child. But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? See, David was fasting for quite a while, you know. He was lamenting the loss of his child, of course. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Meaning that he would see his child again in glory, in heaven. That's what David meant. The child could not come back to him, because once you go to heaven, you can't come back unless you come back with the Lord Jesus, as you will at the end of the tribulation. You know, to reign with him in his kingdom for 1,000 years. Okay, that's the age before accountability. And now we move into the second cross. The second cross involves the age of accountability. Now, the age of accountability is not numerical. It's not numerical. Okay, God's mercy has no boundaries. I want you to remember that. God's mercy has no boundaries, nor does his justice have any mercy. Are there any little children here? Are there any little children in your house? Okay. Well, we're going to leave that behind. We know the little children are before the age of accountability. So if one of your little children were to perish, were to, hopefully this is not going to happen, but got killed somewhere in an accident, or just died from a dreadful disease, you can rest assured that child, if he or she is below the age of accountability. Now, the age of accountability differs in the eyes of God, so we can't state a certain age. God knows the heart and the mind of the children. But if that child should die, that child will go directly to heaven because he's not accountable. And that child is not of a sound mind. That child is not accountable. Okay? Okay, now we're getting back into the second cross again. The age of accountability, where we are accountable. The age of accountability actually begins where the age before accountability leaves off. You see, when you are not accountable and you grow into that time where you become accountable, that's a whole different sequence in your life. That's a whole different age, right? Some call it puberty, but in the eyes of God, it's understanding who He is. And being without excuse, you join that group of people. Your life continues, and the excuses you harbored in your childhood, well, they're just not excuses anymore. God has given you the mind of understanding. The years may not be long before you enter into the final stage of your life. Ooh, tomorrow is promised to no one. The Bible is clear on that. What shall we say then? I need more time? It's not going to work. No, you're out of time. You're out of time when you pass the age of accountability. You know, it's time to truly realize the fullness of God. It's time to acknowledge there is someone bigger than you. Someone greater than you. Someone smarter than you. It's time to examine yourself. Who are you? How did the world come to be? Who is God? What does He expect of me? It's time to enter the house of the Lord and learn from His holy book. You know, in the eyes of God, you have to ask yourself, who are you? In the eyes of God, who are you? Well, your name really is Sinner. Now, that's a terrible name, isn't it? But we are all sinners. So your name is Sinner. The question is your sin under the blood? We'll get into that. Now, the Scriptures tell us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Once you've accepted the fact that you are a sinner, well, then search the Word of God and find out what is the penalty for sin. You'll find it. We're told that the soul sinneth. It shall die. And that the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. So, what happens? What happens then? Well, in the book of Matthew we read, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Ooh, that's clear enough. You will go to hell. If you reject Christ and what He did at the cross, you will go to hell. It's that simple. It's that plain. You will go to hell. According to Revelation, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Your first death is when the body dies. Your second death is when your soul dies. Okay? Then, as you continue to read from God's holy book, you'll discover how you can avoid the second death. You'll discover how you can avoid it. And that's what this message is all about. By the way, the second death doesn't mean annihilation. The Bible tells us that hell is a place where the worm dieth not. The worm dieth not, the worm is the mind. In other words, you'll be conscious of your suffering. You'll know about the flames, you'll feel it. You'll feel the pain, the anguish, and you'll recall why you are there. For all eternity. But you won't be able to do anything about it. It's just eternal pain and suffering. Wow, I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I certainly don't wish it upon you. No, sir. So, how do you avoid hellfire for all eternity? How do you avoid hellfire for all eternity? Well, as I've been alluding to, that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth and went to the cross at Calvary. Now listen carefully to what Christ did to save us from an eternal hell. Listen carefully. Isaiah 53. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. They beat him, they mocked him, they scourged him, and then they nailed him to a cross. But why? Why? Not because of anything he did. No. Jesus Christ went through all the suffering and shame for you. For you and for me. And for the whole world. Why can't we understand and accept that? He gave us a way out. He gave us eternal life in heaven in glory with him. All we have to do is believe and accept them. Repent. I want to tell you people something. I want to tell you. Now listen to this. When God shows his love to a world that's gone mad, and he does so by asking his only begotten son to go through a marathon of incredible pain and suffering for a worm such as I, and then we don't want to believe it. We don't want to accept it. All I can say is, God, have mercy on our miserable souls. Have mercy, Lord. You want to know how to get to heaven? You think you know how? But the way has already been prepared. You don't have to think how you get to heaven. All you got to do is open the Bible and look at John 3:16. Or John 14:6. Read it. He is the way. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's by Jesus Christ. You have to go through Jesus Christ by believing in Jesus Christ. Oh, you pray to God. Excuse me. You pray to God for salvation, and God draws you to his Son. At that time, you must believe in him, what he did, and repent of your sin. That's how you get to heaven. Jesus said, beware, my friends, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Beware, beware. Is there any other way to heaven? Is there another way to escape hell? No. Scripture tells us, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And no, you cannot earn your way to heaven. I mean, Bill Gates may have given billions of dollars to help feed the poor, but that won't get him into heaven unless he repents and receives Christ as his personal Savior. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 tell us, listen to this now. And Bill Gates, if you hear this, pay attention if you're not saved. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I'm not saying Bill Gates is a boaster, but I am saying he's no better, no worse than the little folk who have little or no money, who are struggling day by day, all in the same boat when it comes to going to glory. The rich man will not be favored or have any preeminence at all. We are all in that same, and I don't like to use the term, but we are all in that same boat. Repent, believe. Repent, believe. Okay, now, you have heard of the cross during accountability. You have heard of the cross before accountability. First cross, second cross. Before accountability, during accountability. And now, finally, we have the cross after accountability. After accountability. And I want you to understand this. You senior citizens out there especially. This is important. And even you younger people, because this is an age you will enter into if you continue to live by the grace of God. This is an age you will enter into. The age after accountability. I want you to understand, that's where you are now, if you are a senior citizen. In seniors' homes and residences all over the world, many will perish. Many will perish. Why? Well, because they are not able to be accountable. They are back to the first cross, and it's too late. What I'm saying to you is, when you were a child, God looked upon you in your meekness that you didn't understand fully. You were not accountable until you reached a certain age and understood. And then when you entered into the age of accountability where you were accountable, then you were without excuse. And then you enter into this age after accountability. Now you're a senior. You're aged. Your mind is perhaps a little bit gone. You can't remember things, or perhaps you can't understand things. I know. I preached this at a senior's residence. And I've talked to them, and I've asked them, do you understand what's being said here? Do you know about Jesus Christ? Well, I think I do. How many are like that? This is their age after accountability, and because they dragged their feet, they procrastinated during the age of accountability. Now they're into that age after accountability, and there's no hope for a lot of them because they don't know what Jesus Christ and the cross at Calvary is all about. That's the point I'm trying to make. The age of accountability is gone. The age after accountability is looking right down upon you, senior citizen. Do you understand that? If you don't understand it, you missed the boat. You were given that chance to be accountable, to receive Christ, to repent, and you let it go by. Or you rejected Him altogether. And now you don't understand what it's all about. You can't, because your mind is deteriorated too much. That doesn't apply now to all seniors. If they fully understand, it's not too late as long as they have breath in their body. But those many, and there are many among them, who just don't have that comprehension. And if they are not saved by this time, they have no hope. You can preach them all you want. You can talk to them all you want. They don't understand. And mouthing words, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, am I supposed to do that? Is that what I'm supposed to say? Yeah, I believe, yeah. It doesn't work. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. Oh, I pray you're not one of them. I pray you're not one of them. Like I said, I had occasion to talk to many of the seniors. I worked, I've visited seniors' homes for many years, and I've preached in recent years in seniors' residents. I had occasion to speak to them, and I know of what I speak. I'm just so sorry I have to report that only a handful know for sure they are born again, that they are on their way to heaven. Only a handful. That's so sad. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. The three crosses, my friends, the three crosses are the three ages of accountability. That's what they are. The three ages of accountability. As a child, there is mercy in God's grace. For you are before understanding. That's the first cross. As an adult, God's grace is free to all who will come. Your accountability cannot be amended. This is the second cross. As one whose lateness in life has numbed their thoughts as to the grace of God's salvation, so too may your comprehension be numbed. This is the third cross. Oh, I pray that you who hear this, if you are a senior, that you will play it over again, listen carefully. Because if you wait another day, and if you're having trouble with your mind, if you can't remember, you can't recall, if you don't know even what prayer is, you cannot, you have no hope. I pray this is not you. God have mercy. God have mercy. Amen. Amen.